The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
For many years, the best place I thought was being at the lake. For long periods of time, I thought that that was the best place I could be. But oh, I'm glad that I've turned and I've recognized that God is good, and I just need to recognize that I'm not. And when I recognized that I wasn't right with the Lord, it spurred me to start turning in a way that pleased Him. Amen? And I'm glad that hopefully some are on the broadcast by now. We've got the mic there going, so hopefully that they can hear well on the broadcast. Amen? Because we don't want anybody to be missed.
That's right.
Amen? How many of you have heard the saying? It's kind of a cliche almost, that it says, I've read the end of the book and we win.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many have heard that?
Yeah.
How many of you have taught you how to get there? Mm-hmm. Interesting statement, isn't it? Yes, I've read the end of the book and we win. But there must be people and pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists and helps,
yeah,
that gets us to there.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that those that endure to the end shall be saved.
Yes.
So in other words, it's not one and done. This is a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a race of endurance and not just some little sissy sprint race. You got to train yourself for this race. Amen?
Amen?
So part of coming to church, yes, there's times of encouragement, there's times of warning, there's times of teaching, but there also should be a time of equipping.
Yes. Amen.
Because without equipping, how can you and I ever finish the race?
Come on.
Right? And along the way, sometimes we need a little nudge. Some of us, like myself, might need a little shock collar on me a couple of times. Right? The blacksmith shop. Right? Forget the potter's wheel. We're going right to the blacksmith shop for me. You know? Some of you got it a little easier. But for me, I'm like, man, oh, I got to retake the test again? Okay, Lord. And so I want you to enjoy church today. I want to see... I know we all go through things, and I know that there's struggles in the land and there's things, but you know, there's also a time when coming to church, there's always at times a tough word or challenging, but there should be also an equipping. And we watched a video this week, and it really encouraged me, and it kind of spelled some things out to me, and it really helps us to get encouraged in the Word, and I want you to, when you go away today, I pray that those listening and you would go away differently than you came in, that you would be stronger in the Lord, you feel more encouraged in the Lord, you would feel empowered in the Word. And so part of today's message, sometimes I do this and sometimes I don't, but recently, this week, I had been a lot in Judges. And I shared with Pastor last night that it was so cool that in our Reinhard Bonnke study, is I'd been in Judges and in the passages, and then I read in what is for today, and in the Mark My Word was the very scriptures that I had been reading and studying for the last few days and didn't even know it. I tried to stay on course for the devotion, but it was late last night, and I'm like, I'm gonna get in the Word and look at that for tomorrow. And there it was. And have you ever been praying and you read your Word and then pastor may be in the same scriptures you're in, or you're in the same scripture pastor was in and you didn't know it, or you may have preached men's breakfast and you're in the same scriptures as someone else. You're like, you know, I was just there too. And you find confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
When you're trying to hear the word of the Lord and you're trying to equip yourself to finish this race strong. And so today, some of the things you may pick up from today, and I've got so many scriptures, I don't know if I can get through them all, but we'll try our best, okay? And on the screen you can see I've got it prepared for you. His power is found in our weakness. The path to Jehovah Shalom and the remnant shall be stronger. You may find nuggets today tied to this. Because already today you found that we can't do it this without Him. And those watching, hear me. You can't do it without the Lord. You need the Lord. And He will get you to a place where you cry out to Him in need of help. The difference is how long does it take you to recognize Him in your life? For me, it took a long time, and that's where I talk about the blacksmith shop and that. But how long is it going to take for us to cry out to the Lord? Because when we do, He shows up. And that path to peace. There's a bunch of us that need some peace today. The storms have been raging, and it's time that we call those things that are not as if they were, and we say, peace be still. We speak the very word of God and say, flesh, you must get in line with the word. Job, you must get in line. Whatever it is, right? And the remnant, those that are left. Because let me tell you, there's been a great falling away going out there in the land. Fear has come in. And there's been a distinction, and there's been a separation. But those of you that are here, at the sound of my voice, and those in the sanctuary, let me tell you, God has great plans for you.
Amen?
Amen? Can you hear me okay today? Amen? Because we want to go somewhere today. So go in your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And we've got it on the big screen. It's about halfway through your Bible to the left there. In Daniel. I'll give you a second to get there. So if you go to Psalms, go to Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, keep on going, Ezekiel, and then you'll hit Daniel. And the Word of God says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, He shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I'd forgotten about this verse until it jumped off the pages. It's been with me for months now when we were going through our teaching, the Sunday night teachings. There's a distinction that's here between those that have been corrupted by the world and those that have made it their choice to get to know God better. You can have as much of God as you want. You can get to know God at a distance, or you can get to know God intimately. And the choice is up to you as to what you want to do and what you're willing to do. Amen? It's not up to God, it's up to you. You're going to have to put some time and effort. But the Bible says that those that know their God shall be strong. But let me tell you, it's not going to be strong in what some think. When I am weak, then I am strong. If I'm strong in my own eyes, I can do it all. Oh, remember, I can do all things. People want to leave that part out. Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The moment that we realize that we can't do it all, that we have to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, then you're strong. In your weakness, Apostle Paul, he got beat and all the things in afflictions. He found strength in trusting God, even through the afflictions. Amen? But we're called to be strong. And then do. How do we do that? Everybody can say it. But Pastor, how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we hang tight in this crazy world? How do we do it? So let me give you a nugget, and we're going to go somewhere. So now go to your Bibles. Faith cometh by hearing, right?
Yeah.
And hearing by the Word of God. So today I want to help build your faith and equip your faith and strengthen you in the works that God has for us as we're in this challenging time in the end times. Amen? So we're going to go into Leviticus. We haven't been there for a long time. If you go into Exodus and move on over to the right, might feel a little bit like a Bible study this morning, but we're going to get somewhere. And we're going to go into Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. This is your Bible. You can't throw away the Old Testament. There's a lot of wisdom and strength that takes the Old Testament and builds you to the New Testament. And the Bible says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. In verse 10, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. What's going on here? How can we apply this? You want to know your God? You're going to have to spend time. Hello? How do we do this? How do we grow? How do we get there? If you spend every ounce of your day and don't leave any time for God, something else has to go. Choose. Ouch. Right? Remember what I just said. You can have as much of God as you want. But if you run your day all the way out to the edges, and you spend every part of your day running and gunning. You're like, well, you don't know my lifestyle. Trust me, I get it. I see what it's like to be a single mom. I see what it's like to be a single dad. I see what it's like to get the kids to school and all that. I get it. Don't let an ounce of condemnation be heard there. But there has to be something as we grow that if you want to be used by God, there has to be a portion set aside. The Bible's talking about not only in time, but in crops, in harvest, but in your resources. You can take this verse and apply it to your finances. If you're in debt and you use every ounce of your paycheck, you're missing out on this biblical principle. There's a discipline that I had to learn that said, I spent everything I had, and then some. But the Bible teaches that if you can learn what is need and what is want, and don't go all the way to the edges of your field, every ounce of every part of your day and every ounce of every part of your paycheck, that you can allow time, allow your resources. How many understand how valuable your time is? When I first started coming to church, I wanted to tithe, I wanted to give offerings, but I wasn't in a position to. And the Lord worked on me about wanting to be a cheerful giver. And Pastor Burkhart would show me this verse years ago about, son, you can't go the whole 24 hours all day long. You want to do this, you're going to have to set some time aside. If Reinhard Bonnke's study is teaching you anything, it ought to be teaching you that there's a discipline to be learned from setting aside time.
That's right. Amen.
Do I win every day? Nope. But let me tell you, it's the path that you're on to grow you in your finances as you determine your needs versus your wants. And you don't go all the way to the edges, let me tell you, and you're able to take a piece of that and go, you know what, I just don't need that. I could have that new boat again. I can have those new $200 St. Croix rods again. But my heart is different now. I have a desire to not go all the way to the edges. There's something that the Lord, you see, I'm a manager of my time, and I'm a manager of what God's given me. I'm a manager of the resources and the money that He allows to me, and I'm not going to spend it all on me. I'm going to set some aside for those as we sow into this ministry, and your soil, you're putting into good soil. You're sowing seed into those that can help. You see what I'm saying? But it goes back to, this is not a tithing and offering message, but this is a getting, this is a scripture that teaches us, equips us how to handle our finances better. It equips us how to allocate time better if you get a hold of this verse. Not glean your all your vineyard. Set aside some time. You say, well, I never heard this. Yeah, I never did either until a pastor loved me enough to say, listen, you're going to have to take some amount of time and get in here. You're going to have to delegate in your life and allocate. You can't make time. You put a 24-hour day. You can't make any more. All you can do is allocate and resource what's there. Amen? So you want to be strong in the Lord? I'm trying to equip you with what a man of God equipped me with. And I'm still learning after all these years. In the middle 2000s. To discipline my time. Because if I don't, I'll use it all up on me. And there's others in need. If I don't get in this word like I did last night and get a revelation of where God wanted us to be, I need to call up pastor and say, nope, I'm not in the word enough. I haven't been praying enough. I need you to run. Can you run for me? Pastor would say, be ready in season and out of season. And he would love us so much that he'd make sure we were ready in season, out of season. Because he would make sure, even if it wasn't my time to minister, that it might just be my time to minister. Because he'd say, it's my time, but it's your time this morning. And Pastor Burkhart loved us enough to equip us for where we'd have to be down the road. And I never would be able to even do the Reinhard Bonnke study had I not had some initial teachings that said, I've got to figure out how do I make this work, and what else do I need to give up or reallocate so that I can do what God's purpose is for me to do. Amen? I know I took a lot longer on that than I thought I would, but it seems to happen to me recently. But you see, we're called to equip. And if I don't share with you what is in me, how can you ever receive? Because a man of God put it into me to give to you and not be a reservoir. And I'm all about leaving a legacy, and so was he.
That's right?
And I got thinking about that video this week because I'm like, you know, Pastor imparted into us a legacy of equipping others that they may be blessed. Not just say, well, I'm blessed, I hope you get there. He didn't do that. He wanted us to grow in the Lord. He was the most loving, kindest man I've ever met. If there's anyone that would say, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, he was one to teach it because he had all kind of people against him all the time. I've never seen a man love people like he did. I've got a long ways to go, folks. That's been 2004. 2002, 2004, 2005, through 2008. Here we are 15 years later and I'm still learning. Because he imparted something and said, I have to set aside some time for the word, and I also have to set aside some time for people. How many people that don't know the Lord are you hanging out with in a week's time? A lot. Some you're doing it because, and some because of work, right? But if you're not equipped in this word, how can you have the words to say when you need it? right? Because we have a work to do this fall of getting ourselves equipped spiritually, mentally, physically, and you can't give away what you don't have.
That's right. That's right.
So that's a problem, but there's another problem is you can't always get people to receive the gift that you do have. Right? So you're going to have to empower through the Word to strengthen you, because not everyone will receive you being sent. Amen? So today we're going to talk a little bit about a man who was sent. And we're going to look at this man for a little bit. I know we're not jumping around and shouting around, because this is... I've been praying about this, and I can't get away from it. So, and then with the confirmation yesterday, I'm just going to go with it. Is that okay? Because I believe that the Lord is trying to do something in us, and we're going to go to Judges, as I was talking about. So I'm giving you some nuggets already. And we're going to go to Judges chapter 6. Okay? Judges chapter 6. And we're going to be talking about Israel. We're going to be talking about a man named Gideon. And it's interesting the time that he lived in and the people he lived in. And I believe I can learn something from this, and maybe you would learn something from this, because God has a purpose for you and a plan for you, but it's not going to follow through if you don't believe in yourself. You can be given the gift, like Moses or pastor or whoever in your family, and if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't believe in who you are, and you don't receive who you are, and you're not equipped, how can you take the teaching that we're going to have this fall and share the great gospel to anyone else? Are you here? So in Judges chapter 6, are you there? In Judges chapter 6, we start the biblical account of Israel had it good. All was working out. Then all of a sudden things weren't going so good. So let's begin reading about what happened in this biblical account. And let's see if we can learn anything and be equipped through the Word of God this morning. Amen? Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. You mean God brought them out of all this stuff and helped them have done something? Yeah, you're going to see it played all over in the Bible. God does something for somebody, fall away. God does something for some, fall away. And we keep having to learn about obedience and disobedience. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, so... Don't want to dive off in the clover leaf on this, but you know, God sees it all. You may clean up and look good anywhere, but He sees your 24/7. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Can you imagine 7 years of dealing with stuff because of disobedience? Wow. Got a problem, don't we? And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds which are in the mountains. You see what's going on? Because of these people, they hid, they ran, they're impoverished, they're going through struggle for 7 years. Why? Because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And look what happens to them. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Every time they sowed something, someone was there to steal their seed. Every time they planted seeds, they find the evil trying to take what they planted. When you're trying to do good, is it you ever felt like your seed's been took up and stole? You ever planted in a ground and you prayed over something? You put your hand to the plow. You you bless people, you tried to give, and you keep giving, but you're not seeing any fruit, you're not seeing anything grow? You ever been in that kind of soil? Praise God, when you give into this ministry, I've seen for myself growth, and I see the devourer rebuked.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Granted, this is not a tithing giving message, but I'm telling you, there's one that tries to kill, steal, and destroy the things that you're planting if you have your spiritual eyes open to it. If you're watching, it's going to be part of the message today. If you're watching, because there's one trying to steal what you're doing. When you try to plant seeds into people's lives, there's one that tries to come, no, pull that away. I ministered just briefly to a lady this week that used to come here, and I was like, we miss you. Come back. Just pray for me. I am praying for you. I'm praying for you to see the light, to see that people love you, that want you here, but the enemy has stolen that what she received. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up against them. Then they would encamp, in verse 4, against them and destroy the produce of earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. These people were going through some hard times. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. But they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. This is in verse 6. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Ah, there it is. Is it possible that the Lord is trying to get us to get rid of self and put our reliance on Him and turn from our wicked ways, that He would heal this land? Is it possible that we're in a 7 years because of disobedience? Is it possible we're seeing the things we're seeing because we've turned from the Lord? We had it so good as a nation, didn't we? Now, I don't put any trust in one man and one leader. You just need to know that right off the bat. And this is nowhere near a political message. But when you find yourself living the high life, let's say, and you forget God. You forget how He brought you through X. You put it there. And you go your own way. Let me tell you, there's a remembrance that needs to be had. So listen, don't forget His benefits. Now, I've lived this story a couple times. Things are all good. And then what happens? You get comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't need God now. I'm good. I was hurting. I was struggling. And I turned my eyes. Instead of being in His perfect will, I got out on the edges and I started playing in His permissive will. And then before you know it, I didn't even need God. But there's a time coming when you're going to need God.
Yep, that's true.
And there's a time coming you're going to need God, and I'm still going to be here, unless the Lord comes. You're going to find family. You're going to find folks that have forgotten the benefits of God, but you are empowered to love them back to the truth. It's easy to... But can you love them? That's what Jesus' commandment. Love. Pastor Burkhart would talk. Love them. Love them to the truth. Can we do it? Can you do it? Come on.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you, you're not going to do it if you ain't in here. Because your flesh will overrule your spirit.
That's right.
And you won't want to. But we will love them like the Lord loved them. They cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites. So in other words, they cried out because of the attacks. They cried out because of the negative. They cried out because things weren't going in their favor. They cried out because the bills weren't paid anymore. They cried out because of this. Let me tell you, that's the best thing you can ever do is learn to start crying out to the Lord for help. That's the best thing I can ever teach anybody and equip them is when you're going through something, call to the Lord. Call to the King of Kings because He's the one that helps you.
Amen.
Amen. But look what happens in verse 8. They cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, and the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. I don't need a prophet. I need someone to fix my car. I don't need a prophet. I just need to win the Powerball. All my problems will be fixed. I don't need a prophet. I just need someone to fix my house. Put a roof back on my garage. I don't need a prophet. Know anybody like this? My finances are a wreck. And God's got this funny thing. He sends a prophet to help you and says, if you wouldn't spend all the way to the edges, and allow Him to equip you to balance your finances, that a man that doesn't work doesn't eat.
Come on.
You have to put your hand to the plow and keep it to the plow. Those that turn their hand away from the plow are unfit for the kingdom, the Word of God says. How many people do you know that cry out to the Lord and God does this exact same thing and sends His special messengers right to them? And they're like, I don't need you. I need my problems fixed. And I go, you need me because He can fix your problems.
Amen.
Amen. And here you have, this so jumped off the pages that we watched this video. Because people don't like the messenger. They want to kill the messenger. Kill the messenger. I just want all my problems fixed. Well, God has sent you someone to help you in the way you should go so that you're not turn away like you've done. Ouch, right?
Yeah, come on.
And like, I just want you to love me. I want you to tell me everything I want to hear.
Uh-oh.
I want a motivationally good message from you this week, Pastor. You've been so good up to now. You've had so many likes and so many shares, and we thought you were the best pastor out there, and you and Pastor JC, you just bless us. And then you come at us with a message saying, right? Why do you got to be that way? Why can't you just love on us all the time and make me feel good? Because God sends people to equip you in the way that you should go so you don't turn and go back to your wicked ways,
right?
If my people are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I would heal their land. Why isn't your land healed yet? I don't single out any one person. But the United States has got a problem.
Yes,
let me talk to anybody who listened to me from at this level all the way up to the leaders of this country. You have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You've been disobedient to the Lord and God sees your wicked, evil ways and you're not going to get away with it.
That's right. Amen.
God made a way for this country years ago. He opened up a door. We're so blessed. We don't even know how good we've got it. And yet we've turned from the very one who gives us breath.
Yes.
Right. And no one wants to hear that. That doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't even fill churches today because we want a feel good message with a rock star mentality and a praise band with lights, smokes, and shows. And if you're not a 3,500 member church, you're nobody. Well, let me tell you, there's power in this church.
Amen.
There's power
Amen.
In serving the King of Kings.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if there's 3,000 people or 4,000 people or four people.
Right.
We live in a land who has forgot the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
And the remnant shall be stronger.
Yeah.
There's been a distinction made, and there's those of us who know our God that we're going to do great and mighty things for God.
Amen.
United States, you're in trouble. You're going the wrong way. I'll tell that all the way up to the top. Well, how can you say that? I don't serve men. I serve God.
Amen.
And God will send people, even if it has to confront the very sin and the weight and the problems, and people don't want to hear that because they just want everything fixed. And here we have, in God's humor, in God's ways, we see Him send a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel." United States, "I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." You wonder why we have problems today? It's because of disobedience. I've told you many times before that this is not a peaches and cream pizza Friday every night. But let me tell you, when you dabble on the edges of His permissive will, you set yourself up for this. And it becomes a slippery slope. And we have people that are saying that killing babies is okay. We got people are saying murder is okay. We got people saying that this is okay and that's okay. And all that stuff, right here. And when you start doing what's right in your own eyes, you find a nation that's in trouble. But yet, we have the ability, church, as the remnant, to stand strong on the very Word of God. You are going to have to come out and be separate.
Come on.
And you're going to have to be willing to come out and be separate. Amen? But you can't be afraid of what God has put in you. This is the equipping. And I hope I have enough time, but I'm gonna read through some of these because now we're talking about Gideon. So the prophet spoke this, and then so God sent the prophet to get right in their mess. But then what God does is He assigns somebody to lead them in the way they should go. So, it's not just in this pulpit. It's in your families. It's in your homes. It's in your work. God will assign someone to the mission field of your area to go and tell them the more excellent way. But you're not going to get there if you're dealing with confidence issues. You're not going to get there if you're not in the Word. You're not going to get there if you're not allocating time. You're not going to get there if it's all about you and not about others. So Gideon, verse 11 says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash and Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." Wait a minute. How many of you thresh wheat in a wine press? Something's up here. Gideon, what you doing? What you doing hiding behind the wine press? When I always thought when you thresh wheat, you need to be out in the open where the wind is a blowing and it has to separate the chaff and all that. How is this working out hiding behind the wine press? You're going to have to get out from behind what hinders you and get out there and know who you are in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
I cannot hide behind the wine press and expect my family to be saved. I can't hide behind this insecurity and not be willing to go out and talk to those and say, Are you all right with the Lord?
Yeah, I have to get into that on Wednesday a little bit.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Hey, what's the Lord know that I don't know? Oh, that's right. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He's calling Gideon a mighty man of valor as he's trying to thresh wheat in the wine press. I think he has Gideon's number. I think he's got your number today. I think he's going to have to get you to realize to put your faith and trust in him. Come out from that shell and recognize that this fall we're going to equip you to do what God has purposed you to do for you to reach your families. But you ain't going to do it if you're hiding behind something. Right? Am I equipping yet?
Yes.
But God says, the Lord is with you. You're not alone in this deal. And he also tells you something about yourself that maybe you don't think about yourself. He's telling Gideon, you are who I called you to be. He's telling Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. Come on, somebody. He's saying, you are who I say you are. You are. I cannot lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? The Lord can do everything else, but he can't lie. So when he calls you a mighty man of valor, thus you are. You may not have thought you were, but now you are. Gideon may not have thought he was, but the moment the Lord said that, he, bam, empowered. You're a mighty man of valor. Women? Mighty women. He's no respecter of person. Come on. Do you see yourself the way the Lord sees you? I'm trying to equip you. I'm trying to help you. And he says, Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Wow. "And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the might." You can't spell God without go. Pastor Burkhart got into me a long time ago. "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Don't you know how beautiful your feet are? Don't you get it yet? How beautiful God has put the gospel of good news in your feet, because you've been sent with a purpose. You have a plan and a purpose. But you got to get out from behind the wine press and get out there and do and go and help save your families. "Have I not sent you?" Well, maybe you need to get back in prayer. Because if you don't recognize yet that you're being sent, you've already been sent out to do the work. He said, "Go and make disciples. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Amen?
Amen.
Go and make disciples. So in other words, you know what disciples do? We equip. We build up. We encourage. We help one another. And he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in the Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's..." You know what he's telling the Lord? "I don't believe yet what you're calling me."
Uh-oh.
What? My family's the weakest, And I'm the least in my family, in my father's house. I'm the least one. Why did you pick me? Why did you ever impart this to me? I wasn't the first choice. Why? I'm the least in my family. Yeah. Oh, you remember a little story about David? How he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. God doesn't look at the outside of a man. He looks at the inward side of a man. And Gideon's asking him these questions. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. Again, another, he's trying to confide and he's trying to encourage. He's trying to equip Gideon to get him to understand who he is in Christ. Who is his messenger? Who is one that's going to help lead the family out of their bondage and their stuff? Right? He says, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. I'm gonna help you lead this charge. Oh, mighty man of valor. Now it's up to you to get it. It's been spoken. Now will you receive?
There you go.
All you got to do is receive, because God's already said it into your life, sending you, if you can recognize how powerful and how much God loves you and what He wants to see in your life. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. That's never happened to any of us. Where we're wondering, should we go this way or should we go that way? Is it you, Lord, or is it the pizza? Are you sure I'm the one? You sure I'm supposed to be doing this? Really, Lord, I'm the least of the clan. I'm the worst. I'm the chief of sinners. Surely you're not going to use me for anything to do this with. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I love this. This jumped off the pages at me. I will wait until you come back. Oh, Lord, I'm waiting till you come back. I'm going to endure to the end. I know I'm kind of adding into that. That's Corey thinking right there. The Lord just shares that stuff with me. But I'm just thinking, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I don't wait for the Lord in my lazy boy recliner. I wait for the Lord like I'm waiting for that bobber to go down when I got a cricket on the other end of it. And I know 1, 2, 3, bobber down, set the hook. I'm waiting with an expectation that when I plant seeds, when I speak the word, I'm expecting things to happen.
Yes.
Come on. Right? Yeah. When I don't wait going, I'm going to tithe this week. I'm going to sow some seed. I'm going to tell, I hope it happens. No, you better pray over that seed.
That's right.
You pray over that investment. See, you're investing your time, your finances, your effort towards the kingdom. That's deep. I know. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. That doesn't sound too bad. And he brought, I think we've had some pretty good stews in the fall at times. That sounds pretty good. And in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. Verse 20, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on a rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. There you go. Doesn't seem like much, but it's called being obedient. You may not think that you're doing much, but let me tell you, the things that you're doing, if you're obedient to the Lord, He'll bless it.
Amen.
It doesn't seem too over uber spiritual to pour out the broth of a pan, but when the Lord says, I want you to pour it out, and you do it, He blesses it. Hello?
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's just getting out of the way and listen to God. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord, God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Wow. How many of us need that? Peace be with you. It's been spoken, just like he spoke to Gideon. It's been spoken, now will you receive it? Will you receive the peace that passes all understanding in your life? Because the Lord's here, he's spoken through his word, you just have to receive. All of a sudden, you can keep rehearsing all the problems, all what the wind's blowing, or you can tell the wind to be still. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So that Lord is peace, he showed Gideon through Gideon's insecurities, through Gideon's troubles, he still shows him that he's Jehovah Shalom. Some of us need to get a hold of Jehovah Shalom. Because when God reveals himself to you as Jehovah Jireh, you all of a sudden know it through provision, don't you? But how many of us can have the confidence and rest of getting a hold of Jehovah Shalom when the storms are raging? Because we will put our focus on what the wind is blowing like Peter all the time. But when God shows himself, this is just over a basket and some bread and some meat and some flour. How much more has God shown himself to you with jobs, with provision, with homes, with protection, with families, with health? How much more has he shown to you that he is who he says he is? And when you recognize who he is in your life and what he's speaking into you, and you start being willing to receive, everything changes for you. But how often do we go through life 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 7 years of heartache and lack when God is just wanting you to call out to him and put your trust in him? It's no different than like what we've said so many times about putting that parachute on in your life. No one jumps out of a plane without a parachute. It doesn't make sense. Why would you go through this life without putting Jesus on? It doesn't make sense. He's your provider. He's shown us so many times that he's been there. If we would just recognize and not forget, like these people did when it started out at the start of this message, that have you forgotten that he was at the Red Sea for you? He brought you out of bondage. We were in bondage to sin. We were in bondage to addictions. We were in bondage to our thoughts. We're in bondage to whatever these days. Pride has so many faces, you can't even keep up with it anymore. You don't even know what you're dealing with anymore. You don't know what's going on. But I brought you out of this. Don't you remember Moses? Don't you remember the leader? Don't you remember that I called you out through this and I parted the sea? You didn't see a way, but I parted you through it. And don't forget what I've done for you. Amen. Every time I see someone have one of these, what seems to be insignificant experiences, it goes back to the Shama and the pea patch. Can we embrace when someone else has their moment when God shows himself to them like this? Because I know people that God has shown himself to them and they still won't turn to him. He continues to show his blessings and his goodness with jobs and homes, and yet they still cannot call him worthy. They still cannot call him holy. They can still not.
Come on.
How can we continue to be a nation so blessed. We're about to find ourselves in lack if we don't get our mind right and our heart right. And what I want to encourage today, and I don't know that I can get through these scriptures. I guess that's Wednesday. I want to equip, like our pastors have done, our faithful men that said, if He brought you out of that before, can't He bring you through this now?
Yes.
If He did it for those people back then and brought them out of bondage, why do we continue to want to go back to the bricks and the straw and the leeks when the fatted calf is in front of us? And the goodness, the promised land, the grapes, everything is in front of us. But yet we look at ourselves downcast and what people think of us. And let me assure you, you're more than grasshoppers. When we recognize these moments in our life that God has done something for us, don't turn. Put a stone there. Put a post-it note there when God speaks to you.
Right.
You see, it's not meant to harm any of you. It's to share the love of Christ that says, I know what God has brought me out of, and I know what He's brought you out of. And I know that if you're in it right now, I know that He can make a way for you to come out of it. If He did it for me, He can do it for you. All you have to recognize is that He's wanting you to cry out to Him. You pray to Him and put your faith and trust in Him and watch Him make a way. Are you equipped more today? The word has been spoken. The rest is up to you. God thinks you're a pretty big deal. He died and paid the price that you couldn't pay. They pulled on His beard. They put thorns in His head. They drug Him. He carried the cross for you, made a path in the dirt with that big heavy cross so that you would know which way to go. They put Him up on that, the most horrendous way to die. Horrible. People want to make the cross all glorious. And it's like, well, it's what He did and paid the price. Not that is a death device. They put a spear in Him. They nailed His hands. He shed His blood for who? For me. The chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. Like, what? You're preaching today. Yeah, because I know what He brought me out of. And I know that if you're addicted to something, I know if you're having financial trouble, I know if you're having marital problems, I know if you're having life issues, cry out to the Lord. Get in the house of the Lord. Call upon the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Stand strong in the Lord. Don't go back. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. You're the head, not the tail. Don't you remember this? When the insecurities come, don't you remember that you're here, not here?
Yes.
God has said you're being sent.
Come on.
And if God said it, it is. Amen. Mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of valor. How beautiful are the feet of those that share the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
He paid that price. How can we... I know it happens all the time in our families. Somebody gives their heart to the Lord and things get comfortable. You pray for them and you see them going down the path and you're like, would you just come back to your senses? And you worry about them because you see the pea patch and they don't see it. You see the struggles ahead of them, that their eyes are blinded. The evil one is blinded their eyes. But you and I are sent to say, listen, there's a more excellent way. He pulled you out of bondage once. Come back and watch what God can do in your life again. it's there, that is when you have peace, because we're going to go through stuff. But when we put our focus on the Lord, on Wednesday we're going to see what happens with Mr. Gideon. We're going to see that he took this word and recognized who he was, and through obedience he learned to go clean his house. And he took anything that elevated itself above God, because the first and second commandments were being broken. We're going to see even Gideon, how he had to get reassurance and set a fleece out to make sure God was with him through all this. And then we're going to see Gideon lead a group of people. And we're going to find out through weakness we see God's power. Because God's not going to share His glory with anybody. And He's going to make sure. He's going to make sure. That He is the one that gets us through the storms and is the one that gets the glory, like we sung this morning about being worthy. And Gideon's going to learn that there's strength found in the remnant. We're going to see through the Word of God how God empowers some people to do exploits. We're going to see God filter out those that are fearful, those that are not watching. And He's going to impart something in them with a great victory. Are you ready? Because God has said it. God has sent His messenger to empower you, to help you, to open up the door for you. And I'm encouraging everyone here, and everyone at the sound of my voice, to get here on Wednesday night. Amen. And if you need prayer, we're going to pray and trust the Lord to empower you to do what you're called to do, not because of all your resources, not because of all your talents, not because of all your money, not because of your cars, not because of the house you live in, not even because of all your tools. You're going to see God move through the Scriptures, that He gets the reward. He gets the acknowledgement for the victory. I couldn't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And that's why I stand before you today. We can't do this on our own. That's right. But He is equipping each one of you to have victory in your life.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Amen. So God bless you. We'll see you here Wednesday at the river. Jesus is Lord. Remember that.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the river, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.